This is the Molloy Jim Jeffries Uncensored Podcast. Warning, this may contain strong language and content. Hold on tight. Here we go.
It's always a great day when we get to check in with Jim Jeffries joining us on the show right now from LA.
Jim. How are you, Jim?
Hello, lads.
I'm good.
We've got a bit to catch up on. Last time I spoke to you, I believe you were off. Was it to a celebrity pro-am and Adam Sandler was there and you're practicing your driving techniques?
Yeah, Sandler was there. Kevin Nealon was playing. Bert Kreischer was on the course. It was all comedians and stuff like that. Everyone always goes to you. They go, oh, what was it like playing with those people? But you've played in these celebrity things before. You don't play with anybody. You play with the four people who get to play with you. And then you work as a team, and then like you start off as a celebrity in the whole thing. Like, oh, it's great to meet you. This is exciting. And then very quickly they're like, we've got a fucking dud here. We're never going to win the competition. And then you think, oh, I better regale them with a couple of stories.
Yes, you know, they've got you for 5 hours. It seems like fun at the time, and then you're in a four ball for 5 hours with people who you don't know and possibly don't like. I did one of those celebrity gigs where I was the celebrity in the group, and I ran into James Rain. And I said, hi, James, who's the celebrity in your group?
I'll tell you a little story from way back in the day. So I Megan Fox.
You had me at Megan Fox.
So 13 years ago, when I first got to America, I'd already established myself a bit of a career in Britain and all that type of stuff. But I came over to America and they had me booked at Mark O'Brien's fish restaurant in the Florida Keys, right? And so I went down to Florida to play this fish restaurant. Mind you, it pays the same as all the other gigs, and you get lobster. So I was happy. Years, Larry. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and there at the gig in the audience, there was 20 people, and two of them, one of them was Brian Austin Green and Megan Fox, right? This is at the peak of Megan Fox, Transformers, most beautiful woman in the world. And there was also Megan Fox's sister and her husband. And that guy, he worked in construction. His whole claim to fame was, I'm fucking Megan Fox's sister. Like, he was pretty over the moon just with that achievement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So afterwards, I'm standing outside and I did the gig, you know, 20 people, and I muscled my way through it. And I'm standing outside and Brian Austin Green comes up to me and goes, do you have a light? And I pulled one out of my pocket, a litty cigarette. And then we're standing there talking for a bit. Then Megan Fox walks up and she goes, have you got the light, honey? And he pulled a cigarette lighter out of his pocket. And I said, you just wanted to fucking talk to me. You had a lighter in your pocket the whole time, right? And I caught him out, right? So we spent the next sort of 3 hours. We went out and drank in just this little place in Naples. We were drinking, and then people in this small town, they'd figured out that Megan Fox was there.
Yes.
And they'd all started just standing in front of the bar we were in because they weren't letting extra people in. They were just standing in this courtyard, just staring through the window at her. Now, being the best-looking woman in the world and always having to be presented in a certain way with her hair done and makeup and all that type of stuff, people would come up. They'd go, can I have a photo? And she was very sweet. She went, I won't do photos, but I'll sign anything for you. You know, she gave them all time, you know. So one after the other, one person comes up, can I have a photo? I won't do photos, I'll sign anything. Can I have a photo? I won't do photos, I'll sign anything. And she kept on doing this. And then eventually about 2 hours in, this fat guy that looked like the comic book guy out of The Simpsons, he waddles on up and he goes, hi, can I have a photo? And she goes into a spiel, I don't do photos. And then he goes, Jim, I've been watching you at the London Comedy Store for years, and I'm just on holidays out here. And I said, sure, you can have a photo, mate. No problem. And Megan Fox took the fucking photo, and this guy probably to this day doesn't know that that happened. So she actually took the camera and took the photo.
You know what? Part of me, halfway through that story, was hoping it was going to end with, and we all went home for a threesome. But look, it didn't happen.
With a sister and the construction guy.
I've been listening to your podcast, and there's a great story involving a round of golf you recently played where you got in a fight, a brouhaha, with another group on the course. Let's have a listen.
So we get to the 18th hole, and they're still dicking around. There's no one in front of them.
4 hours. They've been slower than four of us. Two of them have been.
Anyway, so we get there, and Forrest says on the 18th hole, hey, you mind if we play through?
Yeah, as a passive-aggressive sarcastic. Yeah,
very good. Yeah. Very solid line. Yeah. Solid. So, and the guy's like, what? And I said something like, we've been f-ing waiting this whole f-ing time.
He goes, well, you haven't waited at all. Like, it's like, what are you talking about?
We're waiting right now. What are you talking about? We haven't waited at all. We waited all day. And then the goes like this. Well, we're playing $2,000 a hole. That's what he said. An adult said that to another adult. We're playing $2,000 Berlin Wheel went.
We didn't know about your $2,000 a hole.
Yeah, also, no one mulligans on $2,000 a hole.
That is unbelievable. You were totally unimpressed by their excuses.
Okay, first of all, public course. You don't play for big money on a public course. They showed up late. They were meant to be before us, and they showed up really, really late, and we were running late already because of the people before us. And they go, do you mind if we play through? We won't take very long. First shot, the guy hits it into the bloody woods, and then he has another go. First of all, if you go, can we play through? You don't take a fucking mulligan when you're playing through. And then he took another one. But then the last thing he did was, just like I said in the story there, he went, well, we're playing for $2,000 a hole. Like, as grown adults, we're going to be going, oh, I can't believe these big millionaires are in front of us playing golf. They didn't actually finish their round. They called it a day. They said, oh, no, we've got to get into a fight with these blokes, right? I really wanted to go to the car park, because if I saw one of these cunts in a Corolla...
You can't kick off in a car park at a golf club, Jim.
I can. It's a public course. So they can't revoke me membership. I was going to go... If they were driving something like a small, moderate SUV, I was going to have a bloody go at them. I'll go, you should save your money and buy yourself a nice car. I've got this mate. So I was playing with Jack, me assistant, and another mate, and a friend called Forrest. And none of us are big blokes. If you got into a fight, but we got this friend called Drew, and my friend Drew, he's a really big bloke, and he used to be like Secret Service for the president, you know,
okay.
Big sort of guy. And he plays golf with us every now and again. And I came back to my wife, and I go, oh, we got into a bit of a fight on the golf course. And she goes, was Drew there? Were you okay? I'm like, fuck Drew. I don't need Drew to protect me.
You're better on a golf course than you are at, say, rodeo.
But you also, the good thing about a fight on a golf course, you've all got clubs, equal amount of weapons.
Even Tiger Woods' wife can win a fight with a golf club in her hand. I'll tell you this, I got into a gambling accident one day on a golf course where I went to my golf club and I was down listed as playing on my own, and there was a Japanese businessman there who was in from out of town, and they said, would you mind playing? And I said, of course not, let's do it. And on the first tee, he goes, let's play for a dollar. And I go, oh, call the ranger, why don't we play for two? And he goes, okay, let's play for two. Anyway, about 12 holes in, he goes, oh, you're $5,000 up. I go, what do you mean? He was playing a dollar a meter. So apparently, which is a Japanese way of playing golf, is you play for a meter. Wow. So if it's a 450 meter par five, there's $450 up for grabs. If you're playing for $2 a meter, there's $900.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I had no idea and was flogging him until he mentioned that. And then it all went to water pretty quickly. But you do see strange behaviour from people on the golf course. I saw this is true, Jim, on my golf course on the 16th hole. A group of guys playing a game of golf. One of their mates had like a heart incident, so was dropped, had a heart attack. They had to land a helicopter onto the 16th, and they loaded this guy in, and they go, you guys coming? Do you want to come for support? And these mates go, no, we might just finish the round, because they were having a good round.
Yeah.
So rather than go with their mates, they've gone, we'll just meet you there in about... The guy's having a heart attack.
I was doing the Edinburgh Festival. There was a guy in the room, and you know, like, I just heard in the dark, I was doing a gig, and I just heard in the dark, like that, right? And I was like, what's going on here? And I sort of, like that. It was a bloke in his 40s having his first epileptic fit. Like, an epileptic fit's bad, but he never knew he had this inside him. Right. He was just like, and so I had to stop the show, get an ambulance, all this type of stuff. So an ambo shows up, they put him back on like that, and I go, all right, I'll finish the show. And then his mate, it's just like you said, he came back into the fucking gig. And I was there going, I only had like 10 minutes left of material. Like, the show was almost done. I was wrapping things up. And I'm there going, what did you come back in for? And he goes, oh, I wanted to see the end of the show. I go, but your mate's really bloody sick. He's having his first epileptic fit. And he goes, well, I'm not a fucking doctor. And I'm like, that's fair. You weren't going to be that much help, you know. Bit of support, I guess.
Lucky you didn't go over time, because they would have flashed you with the light, so that would have set everyone off with an epileptic
fit. Oh, no, because of that, I had to delay the show for the ambulance to show up and that type of stuff. So all the shows that night were sort of delayed, and people was getting into me, like, why was the show delayed? But it's always good when you go, why is something delayed? And then you go, bang, I've got a good answer. You know, it's always exactly.
What have you done, Jim? Why are the Tony Awards unhappy with you?
Okay, the Tony Awards, which we all know has a rich history of giving awards to people that no one knows.
People who don't know. Sorry, it's theatre, basically. Yeah. It's the Oscars for theatre and musicals and live and.
It's the Broadway shows. Yeah. It's the Broadway awards for all the different theatre productions. Yep. I think Anthony LaPaglia won one once for an acting job. Yeah, these people. Hugh Jackman won one for The Boy from Oz. If you win a Tony, that's a big thing. And if the Tony Awards, right, what they do is they're meant to be on in a theatre. In Broadway, and they have the awards. Now, they normally do it at Radio City Music Hall, or they do it at the Beacon Theatre. Mm-hmm. Now, it came around that they haven't done it for a couple of years. I don't know, something about a virus, they seem to swan over, right? So they haven't done it for a while. And then they decide, the people who run the theatres decided that, we'll do it in a couple of weeks. Now, it just so happened that at Radio City Music Hall, Jim Gaffigan was playing. Right? Yeah. Jim Gaffigan, the comedian. Yeah, yeah. And I was playing the Beacon that night. And then the mafia of the Tony Award people, they got onto all their articles and they said how rude it was that Jim Gaffigan and Jim Jefferies were stopping the Tony Awards. What the fuck? Fuck you, Tony, or whoever runs the bloody awards.
But you know what angry theatre types after you.
I booked this a year and a half ago. It was all booked and ready to go. Why? What am I meant to stand aside or do some bloody step ball change aside for them? So they can... Anyway, they haven't had the awards. Look, I was a show on Broadway. I could win. So I put it down.
You should have come out and done a number from Hello Dolly, Oklahoma. I would have thought. I know you're a Les Mis man. You said you're a Les Mis.
I love a bit of Les Mis. Yeah, the miserable.
You ever won an award?
I won an award for best comedian in the world, right, the Montreal Comedy Festival. The only reason I won it is the guy who runs the comedy festival, I'd been going every year and he wanted me to do a show and I didn't want to go that year because I could just go to Montreal and sell the tickets outside the festival. He goes, if you come, I'll give you a trophy. So I got a little trophy there.
Look at that. What did you do? Best comedian in the world. There's a bit of an onus there to be funny.
Right, and Jimmy Carr gave me introduced me and did the whole thing. Then they give it to me. There's no plaque on the fucking thing.
Oh, you're right.
They could have given this to anybody.
You're right.
This is the most... It doesn't say Comedian Nothing. Of the Year. I might as well just say it's for Best Dancer. Like, it doesn't really... I have it strategically placed in the room. One day, if someone breaks in, I'm going to club them to death with it. I feel like these awards have such good weight. We're only one Hollywood break-in from someone getting an Emmy shoved up their ass. Like, it really... Like, if you look at Oscar, I reckon you could bludgeon someone to death with an Oscar. You could give it a real good going over.
Yeah. It'll be Colonel Mustard in the lounge with the Oscar. And by the way, you mentioned Jimmy Carr. I've just read his book, and he pays homage to you in the book. He says, off the top, Montreal, he said it was the best comedy festival in the world, and he said the only downside would be coming on after surefire huge players like Jim Jefferies.
Oh, wow. So, Jimmy owes me a few things. I got a few things over him that he...
He's written a book. Are you going to write a book? Things.
I've been asked to write a few. I get offered a book deal sort of every now and again, and I'm not going to do it. And the reason for that is I think I should probably read a book first before I go straight into writing a book. I feel like that's an overstep. Yeah. Also, I feel like the thing with comedy books is it's like one thing to read drama because you can act in your head, but it's another thing with like comedy books. It's like the timing's all out. Right? Like if you were to read one of the original books of the Three Stooges, it's a shitty read. You know what I mean? You'd be reading like, and then Larry hit Mo in the head with a shovel. Larry fell down and said, knuck, knuck, knuck. He pursed his fingers into a V shape as Mo laid his hands flat over the bridge of his nose to protect his face. They were three homeless men of diminished mental capacity looking for work during the Great Depression.
All right, I take your point. On that note, did you know that the Marx brothers were famous in their day? So for every film they did, they would actually go and perform it live at least 100 times. So they would perform the whole script live in front of a live audience. So they would get a feel naturally for where the laughs were.
Wow.
When you had to wait for a line or when a response would come. And then that's how they edited the film. Everyone thinks comedy's mucking around down the shallow end of the pool, but it's a bloody science. It tells you how much has to go into executing it properly.
When we recorded the Jim Jefferies show, we were on the same studio lot as I Love Lucy. Oh. There was Marx Brothers film, the Animal Soup or whatever, Animal Crackers or whatever that one.
Mm, yep.
That one there. Mr. Ed was filmed on our set.
Wow. And also on that lot, Heil Honey, I'm Home. Hey, Jim, we've got to go. Thanks once again.
Amazing.
Always great to catch up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
This has been the Molloy Jim Jefferies Uncensored Podcast. Catch more of Jim on Molloy Thursdays for the drive home on Triple M, or stream it on the Listener app.